that which benefits the children from the lips, from the mouth of others, is what God is doing, practically working in their lives. I know that you had to relate to ending up 1,000 miles in mind from where you started, and it was just one little thought. And you gave place to it for a little time. And it turned out to be a giant monster before it had worked in you. Wickedness in high places. You heard from Ephesians 6:12. I know that has to do with the powers of the air, the darkness that is above and around, spiritual wickedness, demons, the devil, but also has to do with your mental power. Wickedness in high places. Dear lady from Ohio called, and she said she was asking, what do you think about this new book? And I said, don't waste your time. It's not worthy of any thought. And I said, think upon those things that are true, honest, just, of good report, things that are virtuous and have praise in them. And I would suggest also to you, dear souls, you may have left here from time to time, and before you get home, the devil would have suggested the preacher was saying that specifically to you. I'm glad that he did. If it was the Lord speaking, but don't ever give place to the devil, thinking that the preacher or these that might do devotions are singling you out, though it might hit you directly. They don't know. And the reason that they do know what they're talking about is because they experience it with you. Don't give place to the devil. But if you turn back with me to Psalm 24, I told John this probably is not a good title, but for lack of a better one, we'll just keep it where it's been the last 3 weeks, Psalm 24, verse number 3. I tried to point out to you last week in the introduction that the Scriptures are spiritual. Even God, having men of old record incidences in the lives of His children, if all you get out of that is a history lesson, you've missed the intent of what or the purpose for which it was written. It has to do with you. It is relevant today. It's more than a book of historical facts. But God must help us and may be pleased to do so this day. Psalm 24, 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? There is no mountain out there that you and I can go where we might be closer to the Lord. Though you are a mile above sea level, you are not closer to God on a literal hill or in a mountain. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? So if God is not talking about a specific plot of ground that we can show on a map, what's he speaking about? He's speaking about us ascending beyond where we see it, far above where we pray, or far above where we read this book. He's got to lift us upward. And the heart and the soul of man has got to soar in the heavenlies. To speak with God. To hear God. Or to worship. Or who shall stand in His holy place? And last Sunday, we dealt with verse number 4. Here's what's required. Clean hands. That's not talking about me making sure that the natural hands are clean. Pharisees did that. They'd wash the pots. They'd wash their hands. Wash everything in the house before they ate. And they took the verse literal. They condemned Christ and they condemned the disciples for not washing the corn that they plucked when they walked through the field and just ate it with unclean hands. It's more than that. Secondly, a pure heart. Thirdly, hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Your soul doesn't reach out after things that are vanishing. But after that which is eternal. Nor sworn deceitfully. I showed you that in Jeremiah 5, where the Lord said, Israel sweareth that the Lord liveth. Or they say the Lord liveth. That is a fact. That is truth. But he said they swear deceitfully. The reason that they had sworn deceitfully is because they did not know the reality of God living in their soul. They did not have the spiritual knowledge that our God lived. You say, everybody knows that. Then what effect does it have upon you? You get into a particular situation, or you become stressful, or you become doubtful. Where is the God that liveth then? So you've lost that. And the circumstance or the situation has clouded the mind, and you are looking more at what is in front of you than the fact that God is living and is in control. Look, if there's anything that is not under the control of God, then God is not absolutely powerful in all things. Not two gods. There's not God, and there's not the devil. With the devil, though he is a very powerful agent, he belongs or is under the control of God. He'd destroy every one of us if he had a power equal to that of God. Swearing deceitfully. That is, you're saying what's right, but you don't know what you're talking about. You want to sin. Now, when you look at all these four things and you put them together and you look within your own heart and you look at mankind and you say, it is impossible. And I say, you are right. No man, John 3:13, hath ascended up to heaven, but he which came down from heaven. No son of Adam's ever had clean hands. No son or daughter of Adam has ever had a pure heart. It's always got a mixture there. It's not pure. No individual born of Adam that has not lifted up his soul after vanity. And none of us there is that have never sworn truthfully on our lives. Only one. So when you read the Psalms, I want you to always bring to mind that they are talking about the Lord Jesus. And on the Emmaus Road, Luke 24, Christ speaking to the two disciples, he spoke to them about what Moses wrote, the law. He spoke to them about what the prophets had said about him. And he spoke to them the things in the Psalms concerning him. So every scripture always brings us to Christ. Now, secondly, if we are Christ, we walk where he walked. We follow the Lamb. We follow the footsteps. If we don't know where he is, we just follow the footsteps down by the shepherd's tent. There we find Christ in the midst of the church. So he that ascended back to heaven is the only one capable and qualified, because he's the only one that came down from heaven. But he came down from heaven to take back to God, united to his holy being, his bride. Now, children, it is absolutely a necessity that you obtain understanding in what you read and in what you hear. I never have asked you to accept what I told you. But always make sure that your pastor is speaking the truth. It is a necessity that you have an understanding in the Scripture. Jeremiah 9, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Okay, Lord. What do I glory in? But let him that glorieth glory in this. Number one, that he understands. And number two, that he knows me. It's not about me knowing some Bible verses. It's about me knowing the Christ that the Scriptures speak about. It's not about me knowing some facts that God is, that Christ is, that the Spirit is. It's not about facts. It's about knowing God. You can reduce salvation all the way down to the very bare metal. And this is it. John 17:3, and this, Holy Father, is eternal life, that they might know me. A necessity. Child born can't remember that moment. Six weeks later, doesn't know folks. But day after day, the little ones beginning to recognize Mama's voice. She's beginning to recognize Daddy's face. And if it is so in the natural, it is so in the spiritual. You're not going to glory, except you know your Father. And his firstborn son. Proverbs 4. It is necessary. I must know him. If I glory, it must be in the fact that I understand. God is. Christ is. And that God has united by the new birth me, you, to his son. Proverbs 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, a necessity. Now he speaks as the mouthpiece of God, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Here's the advice of a godly father to his son. Remember what I tell you. Keep that which I tell you. Do that that I command ye. Now listen, verse number 5. A godly father's advice. Get wisdom and get understanding. That's God. That's God the Father talking to the children. Get wisdom and get understanding. When you come to the book, when you come to the church, when you're reading, when you're bending your knees in prayer, get understanding and get wisdom. Jesus said to that crowd that was listening to him, John 8, why do ye not understand my speech? What am I saying that you don't understand? He said, I tell you why you don't understand. Because you cannot hear. Son, get wisdom. Remember the parable in Matthew 13 about the sower and the seed? And he said, there's one soul. When one heareth the word of the kingdom. Now listen, and understandeth yet not. And then there comes one upon you leaving the assembly. There comes one that catches the word, plucks it up. Jesus said, this is the seed that fell by the wayside. You can't by yourself fix you so you can walk in out of the world and sit down and understand. You can't do it. You can come in, you can sit down, you can grasp a little, but no understanding, but the devil's gonna pluck it up so that you can't meditate upon it. You can't think upon it. And right opposite of that, he that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word of God and understandeth it. And you sit there and you say, I know what the preacher's talking about. You sit here sometime, folk, and you got not the foggiest notion of what the preacher's saying. He that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word of God and understandeth it and beareth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And the eunuch went down to Jerusalem for to worship. That's that city set on a hill. That's me ascending up into that elevated place. He went up to Jerusalem to worship. But he left. Got nothing there. He went home empty. He went out to worship, but he didn't. For God was not there in that place. He was riding home with an empty heart and he just stopped the chariot. And he opened the book to Isaiah 53 and he began reading. And then God said to Philip, go join thyself to that eunuch, that one there in the chariot. Philip went and he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no. How could I except some man teach me? Some man guide me? You didn't get by birth. What it takes in the mind to understand. If you've got an IQ of 140, if you are an Einstein, you still can't understand the book of God of yourself, of myself. You understand? No. Psalm 119:130, the entrance. The entrance of thy words. Entrance. You got in here today because you opened the door. You go, you get back into your house today because you opened the door. That's the entrance. It is the unfolding. Entrance means unfolding. It is God opening the book and unfolding therein that He's talking about. The entrance of thy word, the unfolding, the opening the door of thy word, giveth light. And it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, folk, that word simple is not used in that verse in a bad sense, like, oh, you simple minded, you foolish. Simple sometimes is used as foolish, but here the word means the entrance of thy words giveth light and understanding to that one that's got an open mind. But listen, children, Romans 3:11, this is why I said no IQ. I don't care how high it is. No IQ can open the book and understand it. I mean, we can understand it literally, sure. Romans 3:11, there is N-O-N-E. How many is that? Everybody. None that understand it. Why, if you understand, you don't have to pray. If you understand, you don't have to attend a meeting place where some man is trying to expound Scripture. But there's none that understands, able to set or join together what God is saying here. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? There are things that no one knows about you. And no one knows more of you than you reveal yourself to them. Now you begin to learn, folk, as you live with them. But you can't know that innermost being. Nobody. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. But you said we had to understand. Yes. But you said God said there's none that understand it. Yes. And you told me that salvation Salvation is coming to a knowledge of God. Yes. But no man can know that, right? Then how do I know God? You know, salvation is nothing more or less than a revelation of Christ. We can make our little 2-cent decisions, but salvation is a revelation. It's more than me walking an aisle. It's more than me joining a church. It's more than me being baptized. It's God making me to understand. But no man knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. Verse number 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why'd God give us the Spirit? Why did that child eat and drink and sleep? And as soon as they come to the recognition of living, then that little heart begins to run out after being grown. This is what I'm going to do when I get big. That's just the Spirit within them. God gave you the Spirit, not of the world, but He gave the Spirit which is of God, verse 12, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Time and again, I'd sit there and I'd listen to Brother Hubert, and he'd tell all of us, the preachers there, you've got the same Spirit that Matthew Henry had, Matthew Poole had, John Calvin had, John Knox, George Whitfield. You got the same Spirit. And I guess after years of stumbling around in darkness, I'm beginning to understand what he was saying way back then. Comparing the spiritual things with the Spirit, because we've got the Spirit of God in us, verse number 14. But the natural man, that which is born of Adam, my eyes, my sniffer, my hearing, that which is born of Adam, the mind, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I think we've got to take the position of Elihu, Job. I will fetch my knowledge. I can set facts before you. I can preach truth to you, but I can't give you an understanding. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. In that passage in Luke 24, of those two disciples, it said, and then Jesus opened their understanding. The psalmist said, I've got more understanding than all my teachers. If you become a good hearer and God gives you understanding, you'll surpass me. My Lord, do I now have more understanding than all my teachers? I take what they gave me, and I take the Word of God that you have given me, and I meditate in all thy precepts. And so, at 60, you'll be wiser than I. See, folk, I had to stumble through religion. And I had to unlearn. But those of you that are starting out afresh and anew under truth, you've got a far greater advantage than I ever had. Now, no man understand it, and yet it is an absolute necessity that I do understand. And then I realize that it's only God, cause knowledge always travels first through the natural mind. But if it goes no farther, and it takes its stopping point in your head, then you are no different than a religionist. You're just an educated religionist. Or a proud Pharisee. Now listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy. Timothy, you consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. So you take what I've read, the passages that I've read, and you go back and you meditate upon them and you think upon them, and you get that knowledge past the natural mind, and you get that knowledge buried down within your soul. You say, but I have a bad memory. So do I. But we have one that is our mind. You have the mind of Christ. And you have the Spirit of God that will bring back. If it's down there, God will bring it back in time of need. And so you take it and you beg God for an understanding. You consider what I say, and then you pray, God, give me understanding in all things. For children, all true, lasting riches are above us. Gold will become tarnished. Silver will take on the impurities of its environment. They'll all flee. Rust will get to our precious metals. And moths picked up a suit someone gave me last year. I laid it out and I saw a speck on the shoulder. I thought, well, it's got something up there, and tried to get it off. But it wouldn't come. A little tiny moth had eaten the fabric. No good anymore. All true riches are above us. That's why you got to ascend into the hill of the Lord. All the blessings that belong to the children of God are far above this world. Thieves can steal what I had. Moths can eat and destroy that we wear. But there is a place far above where the natural man can go, and that is eternal. Martha, Jesus said, you cumbered about with a lot of things. But Mary, she hath chosen that good thing, that good part, which shall never be taken from her. Oh Lord, she's gonna die. Yeah. But everything she obtained by way of an understanding of God, she will carry with her into glory. You think you're wasting your time reading? You think you're wasting your time sitting on a pew? If God gives you an understanding, it's stored up in heaven. Those tears you shed that nobody knows. Loved ones and dear friends around, serving an idol that they call God, basing their salvation upon something they did instead of that, of what God has done. And you shed those tears that nobody knows. They're going on. God said they're in the bottle. They're stored up. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Why do you think Moses wanted to go into the land of Canaan? You say, well, he wanted to see the land. Nah. Well, he wanted to see what the children of Israel would have. And he just wanted to be a part of it for a little while. Nah. Well, he wasn't ready to die. Nah. Everything that Canaan represented, the crossing of Jordan and the going into Canaan, and every spiritual thing that it represented, Moses wanted one more sight, see one more thing, hear one more thing. That he'd have stored up to take with him. Everything Canaan represented was in God. And it wasn't that he'd have one more day on earth, but it was that he might have an advancement in his knowledge gained to carry it with him into glory. Everything's above, children. And sometimes you get so bogged down in life that you got to get into the hill. You got to ascend into the hill. And everything that you have that is eternal and that is lasting is only seen by an eye of faith. It is only obtained with clean hands, a pure heart, a soul not lifted up to vanity, nor a mouth and a heart that's swearing deceitfully. So all hidden in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3, that blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Not on the pew, not on my knees, not sitting at my desk with the Bible, in heavenly places. One of my great longings and desire of my soul before I depart is to see the Church of Christ, a united body, ascending into the hill of God to worship. Oh Lord, Psalm 81, Lord, at first Lord's all capital letters, meaning Jehovah, the sovereign ruler. O Lord, my sovereign King. O Lord, Jehovah, my Lord. Second Lord is just the capital L in the lower cases. Only way that the translators had of letting you know that that word's got more than one meaning. And the last Lord is that of a master. It is that of a husband. O Lord, my Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Now you know why you lift up your eyes. Now you know why you struggle to get out of the natural in praying. And it's more than just repeating some things from the top of your head. But your heart's ascending to God and you hang it to Him. Blessed be the Lord. I'll close with this. I'm not through, but I'll let you go early. Those of you that count time, you probably think I owe you 3 or 4 hours over the last month. I'm just going to give you a few minutes. Father, John 17, I will. That's not a petition. That's not him making a request. I will. You will know how strong your will is. You will the day and the hour that you're going to depart life. You will what you're going to do tomorrow. You might be able to do it, but if you do, it was God. So when Jesus says, Father, I will, that's a sovereign priest. I will that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am. Again, I ask you to get beyond the natural and the first meaning of that verse. I know that the grand application and the final application of the sovereign's will to be with him is us with him in glory. But I promise you this, if you're not with him in time, you're not going to be with him in glory. That's got more to say to us than us just dying and being with the Lord in glory. That's saying this day, tomorrow, next year if we're alive, I am with Him. And though there might come dark clouds between, He's still there. I'm struggling to get out of the darkness, and I'm struggling to overcome that which has overcome me to be with Him. For death is not going to bring about a drastic change. You say, well, I'll have a new body. No, not death. Undertakers get that. Well, I'll have one at the resurrection. No. This body In my flesh, Job said, I shall see God. See, if God raised a different body than what He put into the ground, or what the undertakers put into the ground, that'd be a new creation. God's not going to create anything new after He created you again. And so you're with Him. Death's not going to change anything. Death's just bringing to fruition that which God began in time. Now I walk with Him. And I talk with Him. And I have an ear turned. I want to hear Him. And I got a desire in my soul which is not different than any newborn Christian. I've got a desire to be with Him in time. Father, I will that those that Thou hast given me be with me, that they may behold my glory. Some get beyond the Baptist traditional services. And I'm beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what takes place when we do that? 1 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we are changed from image to image. If the newborn ever quits hungering, you're going to rush him to the doctor. If the newborn ever loses a desire for something to quench, if he loses a thirst, something's wrong. If he stops growing, something's wrong. Why don't you bring that into the spiritual realm? For God said, Romans 1:21, the invisible things of Him from the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen by that which God has made. Lord, I will that those that Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And it's looking into the face of God as revealed in Christ Jesus that changes us from our natural into the spiritual being. Won't ever lose the color of my eyes. I just dim. Never lose the features of the face, unless an accident or something. They just get wrinkled. But the new man, that creation within, he's growing and developing with the wrinkling, dim-eyed, loss of hearing, old Adamic nature. He ascends, she ascends into the hill of God. Tell me, come to